Oh, wow. Honored. So today we start good, oh, all good. Let's start with the Gemara Bavas, or Yud Gimel Amid Aleph. Daniel, you want to get us started on it? Yeah, what happens if the structure that the Shutfen own doesn't have enough for both parties to split it down the middle, right? So it's Ein Bakedei Chaluka. So machlokas whether you can have this idea of good or agud. Now, what does good or agud mean? Shnai sat in our din Torah yesterday. The whole thing was about good or agud. Like we're going to do a good or agud, or as one, as they said, a good or igud. So, what is a good or igud? Yeah, Josh.
Set a price, and you say that if you want to buy it for this price, then you can buy it. Otherwise, you know, I'll take it.
Aha. There's actually a little. This is a bit of an issue that came up in our deliberations. What is good agud? You could colloquially, it's definitely taken in your sense that it means it's the right to set a price and say I'll buy it for this amount, at the risk that the other person could also accept and flip it on you and buy you out at that price. All right, so like in yesterday's case that I sat on, one guy was a 42% shareholder of this company, the other side was the other 58%, and the whole dispute was about how to value the company. Is it a $6 million company or is it a $0 company? That was a range of options. And so the 58% shareholder said, well, we evaluate it at, I think, $500,000. And what's 42% of 500,000? Somebody know offhand? 220. 220 or 210, something like that? 220?
I don't know.
Yeah.
220 or
210?
210.
210, right? So if the company is all, if the whole thing is 500K, then he should get 210. So that kind of gives him the right to say, no, if you really evaluate it at 500, then I can buy you guys out for 290. Sorry, 290. Right? Does everybody see this? So the good or good, you might say, and this is the way Josh was using it, I think, is that it's a mechanism for evaluation. So let's say you evaluate the whole thing at 500K. I don't have an eraser, but... Okay. So if you evaluate at 500K, so the buyer could say, we'll buy you out for 210. At the risk... Meaning it forces, the idea is that it would force him to give a proper evaluation because he now runs the risk that the other party could just buy him out at 290. Does anybody see that? Yes? So some people take the words good or all good to mean this. I actually think that's not correct. I think that this is part of our issue yesterday a little bit. Strictly speaking, the words good or all good just mean what? Machlokes, but broadly... Yeah, but broadly, so some people say it's a lashon of meshicha, like to pull. Other people say it's a lashon of like cutting, kotzeitz, or stipulating.
To divide.
Yeah, meaning it's a mechanism for splitting it, right? You can't split the physical thing in half, so you could have a buyout, right? So good or all good is basically you take the thing or I take the thing, right? So I think it's actually better to just think of good or all good in that sense, not in Josh's more narrow sense. Good or all good means there's going to be a buyout. That's how I'm going to think of it. And there are different mechanisms for pricing the buyout. So good or all good has different mechanisms for doing that. One of those mechanisms is Josh's way. You have one side put a price, an evaluation on the table to buy out the other, at the risk of that boomeranging back on him and being bought out at that same valuation. That's a very good strategy. It's a very good tactic, right? Because every time people lowball their valuation for the purpose of a buyout, you say, okay, then let the other guy buy you out at that rate. And they say, oh, no, it's really worth more. Right? So like in yesterday's case, for example, he started off at this 500K valuation, and by the end, I think the 42% went up to like 1.3 million by the time we finished yesterday. Does everybody see the main idea? Okay, so let's start off. Let's just think of a good oigur in the most general sense. Rav Yehuda says, is Dina de Gudawa good? Rav Nachman disagrees. Daniel, what does Rav Nachman hold? That there's no such principle. What happens according to Rav Nachman? If there's no principle of good to all good, Benji?
I'm sure.
Yeah, you have to have some other remedy, right? So not a buyout. You can't force a buyout. You could have time sharing. You could rent it out to a third party and split the proceeds. Other ways of giving people their fair share of the equity without orchestrating a full buyout. Correct? Okay. So the way I understand good to all good is that it's a buyout remedy for Dabar Shein Bo Kedei Chalukah. But we know that there are other remedies, non-good to all good remedies.
Excuse me, sorry.
Non-good to all good remedies are what? Benji, tell us again.
The renting it, the time sharing it, the just remaining in, I guess the remaining issue, but it's just the time sharing.
Yeah. Chalukah Bismanim or Chalukah Lismanim. And Sphiros, you rent it out to a third party. And you split the revenue, split the profits. Josh?
I don't know if this is the right place to bring up the question, but like when we're saying lace, it's in good or ugly, do we think that means he's saying like derivan there is none, or derisa?
I think it means that that's not a preferred remedy, that there are other remedies are preferable to good or ugly.
Like even on the derivan level?
Yeah. That's how I read it.
Not possible.
What?
Not possible.
It's not possible, or it's not preferred.
He doesn't think it's lower,
he
doesn't think it's
say that again?
He doesn't think that it's less preferred and eventually you could do it if nothing else is available.
Yeah, he thinks there's no such thing.
Right.
Sounds a little extreme to me. I don't like the notion that it's totally off the table. Well, we'll get to Rav Nachman to figure out exactly what he has in mind. Let's read Rashi here for a second, Zolti. You're doing a great job, Rashi.
Is Dina the good or the fish rose the hook, Omer the fish ain't rose the hook? Oh, Kosi Damim, Kosi Damim,
yeah, so just in which characterization of good or good do you think Rashi's going with when he says what good or good is? Oh, Kotzli Damim, Uknei Lecha Chelki. Oh, Ani Ekotz Damim, Be'atein Lecha Bechalkecha. Well, just a buyout, right? I don't think it connotes that specific boomerang type of method. Right? That stipulate a price, and that price will either be your buyout of me or my buyout of you. Notice there's two parts here. Either you're co-stumming to me, or I'll be co-stumming to you. I mean, we'll both put offers for a buyout. It doesn't sound like it's that specific thing that Josh mentioned. Do we agree with that? Yeah? Okay. I mean, the main point is EFC b'shut fuscha. Can you force a dissolution of the partnership through a buyout? That's isle dino good or good. If you hold like that, and that's the view of Rav Yehuda. If you hold like Rav Nachman, what do you get, Zolti? Yeah. Why should we compel a buyout? Let's stay shutzvin, right? And this machlokas itself ties into which broader question that we discussed earlier in the year?
Like what's more primary?
Yeah, that's right. Whether in many cases the halacha views the individual bialos, I use that phrase maybe too extremely, that the halacha prefers individual bialos or that the individual bialos is more fundamental, so we always want to divide a mechanism for dividing the shutfus. Or do you say, no, a shutfus could also be a fundamental type of ownership. If you're in a shutfus, you're locked in a shutfus. Right? So there's Rav Nachman's view is that we're going to leave it the way it is. Why should we upset the partnership? You want your fair share. We'll find some way of giving it to you through Schiros or through Chalukah Bizmanim. Okay? Actually, later on in the Sorshi, I think I put on a Rimi Gash, where he makes this point. Here. According to Rav Nachman, what do you do? B'davar she'en bo kedei chalukah. So the Rimi Gash says, Hilkach l'Rav Nachman, Benji, you want to read this for us? Did you see this?
Yes.
Great. So Hilchos L'Rav Nachman, Hai Chatzer.
Hilchos L'Rav Nachman, Hai Chatzer. Either.
Yeah, so if the chatzer that they're shutfin in is something that we put on the market for rent, what do you do? You rent it out. Upalgi le'lagra. What do they do? They split.
They
split the schar.
Right.
And if it's not meant for renting out, they can't be forced to live there together because of the privacy violation.
Right.
Yeah, so don't worry about the exact times. What's the remedy here? Dyer be haichad shasa v'haichad shasa. Exactly, timeshare. So they all get their fair usage of it by splitting the time use. Good? Okay, so those are non-good or all good remedies. Okay. Now, coming back to the main discussion here, I want to explore two main ideas in Good or Agud. The first arises in Tosfos, and I take this as a question of how do we price the Good or Agud? Right? How do we determine the price of the bayah? Okay, so how do we do that? So we have 2 days in Tosfos. Rami, tell us about the first day on Nir
L'Ri. So Nir L'Ri, we didn't Nir L'Ri a few, but then the Karm Harba Yotrim is Shoviyad Yafal Omar Lo O God.
Yeah, what's the reason?
Basically, you can offer as much money as you want and basically force the guy to sell by offering a price he can't match.
Yeah, well, there's no limit in principle.
Right.
To the good or all good. Notice, again, I think it says a second, there's one idea of a buyout, that's one principle. And there's a second question of the price of the buyout. And here the re weighs in, and the re says that the price of the buyout could be determined by the tovea, by the offerer. Right? He could set it at whatever he wants, even if it's substantially more than the actual market value of the thing. Now let me just say a little bit about that. I know we touched on this. I think this relates to a deeply important question in economics. That is this general notion of, I think it's called cost-benefit analysis. I think I'm right. I should have double-checked. Right? Whether you think that somebody, you could always just say how much money are you willing to pay, and that's like a fair way of assessing the subjective valuation of the thing. Right? You know this thing that Larry Summers, this was the opening paragraph of this textbook I once read on philosophy and economics. Larry Summers, if you know, is the much reviled president emeritus of Harvard. I think he's also a treasury secretary. Not anybody know it?
For Obama.
What?
Well, he didn't do it for Obama.
Yeah. Was he Obama or pre-Obama?
I thought
he was pre-Obama. It makes sense to be more of a... What? In the Clinton administration? He was the president of Harvard, and then he made some comments about women not being smart in the sciences, something like that. But I think he also made some comments, which was the opening page of this textbook, about, look, let's take all the dirty fuel-producing companies, move them to developing nations, we'll pollute there, and we'll just pay off those companies for the damage that we're causing to them. And the point was that it's a win-win, because in America we want, like, no pollution, we're willing to pay for it, and, like, those countries need the money. So why don't we just pollute there, and we'll pay them fair market value to offset, like, the badness of the pollution we're causing. So this was like, it was supposed to be like a good economic analysis of like, it's a win-win. We're willing to pay for clean. They're willing to get money to be dirtier and develop, so everyone's happier. But that type of analysis is pretty common in a lot of sectors, right? How much are you willing to pay is a fair way of determining your subjective valuation of the thing. A lot of people don't like this method. A lot of people think it's fraught with misconceptions about the value of money. Like, for example, if you have a lot of money, then it's much easier for you to do this, whereas if you have no money, then it's much harder for you to truly assess, like, its true market worth. But in some cases, I think it does work, right? That's where the intuition, that it's a good mechanism, that's why that intuition works in a lot of cases. But we'll see, in extreme cases, it may not work. So what's the Rees point here? Romy, what's the Rees point about using this method in this case?
You can offer as much as you want. You can make the offer as high as you want. You're not assuming that this assumes that the other guy would have to match it.
I think this here is assuming that the other guy would have to match
right.
it. Correct, like in Josh's
otherwise,
sense.
Right,
but otherwise, it's not an important point.
Okay.
Correct. So, afilu bedamim yakarim harbe yoser mishovio, yachal lomar lo, oh good, oh e good, at this rate.
Right.
Correct? You guys see that? So, let's say we're shutzfin in, give me an example, a summer house in Cape Cod. And the house fair market value is $1 million. But I say I'll buy you out for 10 million, or you buy me out for 10 million. Okay? So the point there is that I could force a buyout regardless of whether you want to split it. Does everybody see that? And the reason why it's deemed fair is because you could offer me the same buyout also. Right? Meaning you could accept the 10 million or you could pay 10 million. So the terms are fair. Does everybody see that? Let's assume both parties can afford it for a second. Right? And if you're not willing to buy me out at 10 million, then everyone, it's a Pareto improvement. Why is it a Pareto improvement? If it was worth 10 million to you, you'd pay for it. Clearly, it's worth less than 10 million to you. So you're getting $10 million for an asset that you yourself value at less than 10 million. So you're made better off. We in agreement? Yeah? Because if you truly evaluated it at more, then it would be rational for you to pay 10 million to... Right, to get it for yourself. So it is a Pareto improvement. That's why the good or good mechanism, in Josh's sense of the boomerang, right, does seem fair in a lot of cases. And that's the Rees view. So I think it has no limit, and I think it is considered a Pareto improvement because a party that's not willing to buy out is getting more than their evaluation. Okay. The Ritzba disagrees. Daniel, do you have a hand? No? Everybody with me on this? Romy?
Yeah, well, I was wondering how you explain the Tosfot. Meaning, how do you explain this if the other person can't afford it?
The Ani case? Well, we'll look at it. There could be an exception for an Ani if he can't afford it.
You don't assume that this is... To me, it's clear that what the Rees is saying is it's legitimate to...
All the Rees says that even if it's well over market value... He doesn't say there might be pricing failures if, like, the other guy can't afford it altogether. That, we'll see. The Gemara itself has a case of Aniva Ashir, and the Rif quotes that debate, right? Now, you could read Tosos as saying this is categorical, and no matter the economic, may Allah has come to come, if he's an Ani, better for him to get Yoser Mi Damav Bashuk than to be stuck with asset. Maybe. Daniel? What the Ritzvah holds. Let's look at the Ritzvah. He actually disagrees with this, right? So you don't need a fish and avamina. You could explicate the Ritzvah's actual view. So what's the Ritzvah's view? Then we'll pursue Daniel's question.
Then you could just do basically what we just said. Which is to just pay him enough to make him happy.
It's actually not clear to me what the force of that objection is. Like, what's so special about Kater Shimba Mede Kaluka? Why Tosus focuses on that? But Tosus is worried about that. Tosus thinks that means that in a Kater Shimba Kede Kaluka, you could always force the other guy out by jacking up the price. I don't really understand the force of the objection. Why it's maybe an economy.
What does that mean? How are you getting the guy out of there?
The fact that you're thinking about. Let's say, you and I, well, I think this is what Tosis is worried about. Go back to the Gemara's picture of the chatzeros, right, a mavoi with different chatzeros, so here's my house, here's your house, H2 and H1, right? So we jointly have a chatzer, let's say this is less than a dollar amplo, so it's ein bakedei chalukah, right? I think Tosos is worried that if you could always do good of Ogedat, Yosef Michte Damav, the owner of H1 could always say, oh, I'll pay you $1 million to own the chatzer. And then you could basically force H2 to not have any use rights here.
Because he offers a giant price that he has to accept.
Yeah. I mean, a good of Ogedat means anytime there's a shitfus, so I could buy you out of your right to use your driveway. Like, let's say, for example, I'll give my example in Queens. By the way, the other day, I was driving in my neighborhood, the Lower Merion, and there is, like, one of these back alleyways behind people's houses, and everyone's car is parked in front of their house, like, in the back there, blocking, like, the road. So it was a good example of where, like, the... So San Francisco, I was going to take a picture, but then I already walked by. I'll post something about that. But the concern here is that, let's say in my case in Queens, where you have this shared driveway, does that mean that I could just buy out all my neighbors for the right price and like take away their property? I think that's Tosa's concern. Anybody know what I'm talking about with these shared driveways? I mean, my house in Philly, I actually share the driveway. Benji,
I got it.
Yeah, Benji knows, right? So I share a driveway, right, with my neighbors. So here's my house. Here's my neighbor's house, and there's just this driveway that, you know, goes through, let's say, over here. So what, I could buy out their section against their will by just... So I just want to say no. Now, I think the Ramban is a better answer to Tosos. We'll get to that. But what motivates Tosos is that he's uncomfortable with the fact that you could force these buyouts by just raising the price. Okay? Yeah, Romy.
And that mean that's what we've been saying before. Meaning that idea that you could just say, meaning you don't have money, so therefore you take it.
Correct.
So it's nothing to do with the English and Philippa thing.
That's right. I think it speaks to like the unjustness that you could use this pricing mechanism to deprive people of their property. I mean somebody mentioned this in Shear a little while back. This is like Eric Posner. Type theory. Who mentioned this on the discussion board? Or in Shear even? It's like the Eric Posner thing, where no property rule, it's just a liability rule, right? Where pay the right price and you could start taking away all the property of people you split with. Now, I think Posner's answer, or the Ramban's answer happens to be better. Ramban's answer, I think, is just this. Aval ha-reisha de'ein chulken es ha-chatzer ad she'bedal ramos lo shayach ha-dina ha-chazi le-chatzer b'shita v'tzarech le v'ein bayis b'lo-chatzer klum. Basically, what the Ramban is saying there is that there are some exceptional types of shukvus properties where you can never force a buyout because it's meant to be this way. So like in my driveway with my neighbors, it's not like a shukvus which we're locked into and it's supposed to be dissolved. That's like a usage rights sharing thing where it's never meant to be split up into anyway. My neighbors have to have a driveway, not supposed to have a driveway. So we just exclude those types of shitfios from Gedolavit. Same like a sidewalk or something, right? You don't say, oh, if I have enough money, I could buy it off the town Bal Karcham because we're all shitfim in town, right? Now, Ramban's point is that, no, there are some certain types of shared things that are excluded from these buyouts. Okay, Benji, Romy, and then Josh.
Could you say that the mitzvah is really, it's like he's just extorting the other guy in that, let's say he had a separate entrance besides the sheriff's chatzer, so he can always access his house, but the other guy only has an entrance through the sheriff's chatzer. So if I say, hey, give me, I don't know, $100,000 for your section of the chatzer, if he doesn't do that, then he loses his entire house. So I basically guarantee that he just give me $100,000, and then I just have to use the back door instead of the front door. And I got, even though the first half of the chatzer is only worth like $50.
I lost you in the complexity of your case.
Right, so it's this case with the house one and house two.
Yeah.
But imagine that house one has a little entrance, like a little back door, and house two does not.
Yeah.
So the person in house one could say to the person in house two, like, go to Agud 7 times market value of your part of the sletzer. If the person in house two doesn't pay that, then he loses access to his entire
right, but is H1 able to pay times?
He's not. But he will. But H2 is obviously going to accept H1's offer, otherwise he loses his house, which is worth, you know, $2 million. So just paying the $100,000.
I see the point. Yes, there are going to be pricing problems in those types of cases.
Right. So yeah. I'm saying that it could be that that's why the law is saying that you can't go to Agud in that case, because it's not even like legitimate, because there's no way that H2 would ever say.
Correct. I think the Ani case is a similar type of case, but for different reasons. Correct. I agree. So I think the Ritzvah is pointing out. But so I think the Ritzvah, though, is throwing out the baby with the bathwater type thing, because you might say maybe the Ri's right in most cases, except for these exceptional cases where the pricing mechanism fails. Instead, the Ritzvah says, oh, you can never do good or we good with Dami Karim. Instead, what's the mechanism for good or we good?
But as a sort of legal process. So, yeah. And I could offer $100 for it, but he can't force him to say,
correct,
I don't think you're dumb. So,
exactly.
I don't think we lose out that much there.
Exactly.
Again, there's not enough information in the Ritz to know what he thinks instead.
I agree. But the point of the Ritzvah is that you can't say that the dinim of good or good are exhausted by the boomerang buyout thing, right? Where either I pay it or you pay it and you're stuck at this price. Correct? So the Ritzvah doesn't tell us what his remedy is. We just know that he disagrees with the Ri's mechanism. What does the Ramban say on this? He cites Rashi. The Ramban disagrees with Rashi. He says, Yesh omrim shamanas anachasim bebezdin. What does that mean?
The court determines the value.
What's that?
The court determines the value.
Yeah. You do a fair market value assessment by the bezdin, and they determine how much the company is worth, right? This is what we were going to do in the case yesterday. We said, okay, we'll hire an accounting firm, and the accounting firm will just evaluate the business, and then we'll assign 42% of that to one party and 58% to the other party, and fair market value buyout. That's what the Ramban here suggests. The Ramban cites a sugya and ksuvis, which the Ramban ultimately thinks is not a good paradigm. Blah blah blah. The paradigm in the sugya and ksuvis is that it's, you know, better to go with the shuma and bezdin rather than a subjective price offer of the party. Okay. The Ramban ultimately disagrees with this view. Let's see. Aval miksas go'onim yesha kasu sheshomen esanachat v'bezdin. But he disagrees with that view, the fair market value assessment. What does he go with instead? With Rashi's view. What does he think supports Rashi? The language of the Gemara that says, Ma'alinoso, bedamin. That's at the end of the Sugya. I don't know if you guys saw that. At the end of the Sugya, the Gemara uses that phrase, Ma'alinoso, bedamin, which sounds like a buyout, which sounds like you're a bidding war for the buyout. Okay? Cool, be good? Okay. Let's look at the Mi'iri, Bavasuyud Gimel Amid Aleph. He adds to this discussion. Benji, you want to take us through the Mi'iri? You're Lagdolim Mefarshim.
Should we really be doing the Mi'iri?
Very good.
Yira Lagdolim Mefarshim. What's that? Omer Godon.
I think you're probably referring to the Rashi. What? I think here he's referring to Rashi.
Is it being done with Lagdolim Mefarshim private?
It depends where. I think the Mi'iri uses
the
those.
The only part of Rashi is Lagdolim Mefarshim private.
Yeah, but I think here is clearly referring to Rashi, no?
You don't have a right to compare it to, so.
Okay, we could duke it out later. Look, just because you wrote an article in the commentator about Provence doesn't make you a Provence man.
I wrote about 1,000 pages in preparation for that, so it might help.
Wow. Okay, fine. You could be the Provence man today.
Okay,
Okay, so this is very interesting. What does he say?
That meaning, like, you have to, I guess it's like engaging in this bidding war.
He likes the Ramban Rashi view.
Right.
Maybe the right
so
view, but probably not.
Whoever values the land more ends up with it. And meaning just like in a svara, it makes sense that I guess this system makes sense.
Yeah, Alexi says, Afmanasvara, this is true. This is very logical. Why is it logical? Holvomer o tikach o titain. Why is it permissible to jack up the price?
Because you're still providing the option of...
because of the boomerang, right? Because it either allows you to buy out at this amount or forces you to be... So, like, you know, when they say, like, put your money where your mouth is, this is doing that. That's why it's logically... valid. Right? That's why he thinks it's a compelling, fair pricing system. And I think the Miri is totally right about this. No? In most cases, barring the exceptional cases.
Well, I think every case is a good case, but yeah.
Right. Why do you think every case is exceptional?
It's like the Dworkin. What's the name of that? Robert?
Dworkin. Ronald.
Ronald. Like, it's exactly that case where if you're poor, then you have to accept any amount of money, and if you're rich, then you can pay any amount of money.
Right, right.
There's no reason that the circumstance of the market or of our situation in the market should have any bearing on how much I value it.
Right. So the idea is that, like, if I'm willing to spend $1,000 on a trip to Israel and somebody else isn't, it's not that I value it more than he values. It's just that $1,000 for me is nothing.
Could be if you have a guaranteed amount of money and same financial situation right. And everything else.
That's what I mean. In most cases where people are of comparable wealth or whatever, then it's a good mechanism. But in cases where there's a gross discrepancy, then the pricing system.
Well, I would actually argue that most cases in society where people end up trusting that kind of valuation are between people who are not.
Uh-huh. But here you have shutfin. I don't know. You have siblings who yarshin something.
Yeah, I guess I'm saying the logic if I know what kind of thing. Yeah.
Right. I think you could see like a lot of cases where it would work. You know, two students in YU. I don't know. You know, you could kind of, I don't know, assume people are similar socioeconomic backgrounds. I don't know. But they're all spoiled rich kids from Tina, crying through a weeder. No. Isn't that right, Carmi said to you or something? Along those lines. So you weren't sympathetic to the notion that as like that to be a requirement in YU to take a course as a Carmi?
Everyone's at least one
of
the other.
Alright, no beating up on Rumi. Okay, then he cites the view that disagrees. He cites the view that maybe you have to do a fair valuation, a fair market value. And then he says this, V'yir Ali, this is the crucial line, Af l'shita Rishona. Who's the Shita Rishona?
The Shita Rishona is that of the Tosfot.
Ravid.
The
Ravid. Or Rashi and Ramban. Right. But that view that says that you could always be Malin and Bedamim, and this is a nod to Romy's Dworkin issue.
She'im zeh ani etzel ashir, mitok she ashir zeh, chomeid al hadabar.
Esadabar. Meaning what?
Meaning that if you have the case of an ani and an asher, then the ani is basically forced to always take the money. There's no way that he can end up with the land.
No. What's he saying? Just because the Ashir is Baal Taiva, right, and he wants it, and he can throw his money around to get what he wants. Lo nichlu fehu ela bedamav. We're not going to force the poor guy to relinquish the item unless he's getting fair market value for it.
Right, so we don't let him pay below market value.
We're not going to let the Ashir force a chaluka. At this, you know, this higher amount.
At a higher amount or at a lower? Because what would be the issue with
paying for it? He's not getting stuck. He's going to get evicted.
Yeah, but he's getting fair market value, I guess.
It doesn't matter.
No, but he gets a phone.
It's a little tricky, right?
No.
I think what the Miri really should have said is Unless you have a case where the Ani just can't afford anything, right? The Ani can't afford, so let's say the fair market value is $100 for this thing, the usher is offering $20 for the thing, the Ani can only afford one.
What? It's not a real choice, that's the problem.
Right, it's asymmetrical. Right, the Ani can't make good on the threat. What? Yeah. Right, the Ani can't make good on the threat, so that means the pricing thing wasn't fair. Romy?
Why don't you think a little bit dumb of means accept like at a price that he could pay?
The Ani?
Is he a little bit dumb like his own...
I think dumb of usually means the price of the chevats. That's just, I think, what it usually connotes. Do you guys agree?
What's its value?
The true value. It's a little strange, because you might say, well, the usher is raising the price above fair market value.
This is talking about... So we're saying that the usher can't force the Ani to leave by paying him more than fair market value. The only way that he can kick him out is with fair market value?
that is a little strange.
Why is it strange if you're comparing it to symmetry?
Because why not make the Ani better off? No, but he doesn't say that. I think the Miri should have said, then we're not going to force a buyout in that case. He should have said, then lo nechofeinu, period. And there. Instead, he says, lo nechofeinu, a little bit dumb. Then we're going to force a haluka at fair market value. You see that? But I think he's talking about a case like this, where the fair market value of the chevats, let's say, is $50. And the usher is offering... let's say $20.
So we're just talking about a case where it's not a common...
where the Ani could only afford, let's say, $10. See that? So you're saying in that case, the Ani, the usher is just offering a good or a good at a little more than the Ani could afford, basically buying it at a $30 discount for himself. Right? It could be the Niri is just ruling out that case. Or I would say, that's what I would say. But what I do think is awesome here, and I don't know how anybody could say the Miri is just reporting Taras Provence. Look, the Miri himself is limiting that first daya, right? The Miri is saying, even the view that we're malin on, you could say, Yoser Bichde Dama, that's only when the pricing mechanism works, right? Af Lashita Rishona, that's the Chiddush of the Miri.
That's not true. Not only when the pricing mechanism works. The limitation on the way that we described it is very minor. He's actually saying it's not even such a chiddush because all it said is malinam le'vedama, whatever, more than the value. If that was what Tosafot originally said, we're meaning more than the fair market value. So this is not even, he's actually saying even less than that. And all he's saying is you can't extort him in a egregious way. You can only extort him based on the circumstances by paying the market value, even though you can't.
Yeah, let's see. Let's think about this a little more. Matoch she ashir zeh chomed es hadavar. You know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking that the Meiri is thinking that the good of all good here goes the opposite way, maybe. There you go, say Josh. Yeah, that is the Ani trying to extort the ashir. Maybe. So let's see. Im zeh ha'ani eitzel ashir, mitoch she'ashir zeh chomed es hadavar, rotzeh la'alosa. So the Ani knows that the ashir likes the thing so much. K'dei she'yanichehu lo, meaning...
The Ani's going to
be afraid. Mitoch she'ashir zeh chomed es hadavar, rotzeh la'alosa, k'dei she'yanichehu lo. Right, I mean, the Ani will relinquish his share. What? So he's extorting the Ashir, right? He knows the Ashir really wants this thing. He says, good, all good.
Was that true?
That would not make sense.
It makes sense
that
Yeah, the Ashir should say, okay, buy me out.
Right.
Wait, can I just leave it? Why don't you, like, buy that? Lo nechofeinu is referring to the usher cannot force the Ani. So now the subject of the sentence is the Ani. Ela bedamav, and now the bedamav is referring to the Ani's.
Like what the Ani could afford?
No. I assume it's just the market value stuff.
But
Why would you assume dumb of mean
how, why
the value of the paper
that can't afford it? Why are we forcing the onion in this case? How we?
Well, I mean, I'm not assuming that
the reverse case.
I'm assuming the original.
Right.
So what you're saying is that the usher, we're going to have this problem where the usher is going to raise it by a million, and the onion was doing it to be bought out. Right. So we say we're not going to force the onion to give it up in a situation unless he can match it. Meaning Ela Bedama, except unless the offer had a rate that he can, that is relative or whatever, relative to his financial situation, that he actually could respond with a buyout in response. Meaning
right.
The Ani only has $20, you can't offer him, or $10, you can't offer him something that's more than that.
You maybe can't do go to other.
But then you're going to have opposite upon that. If, let's say there's a $100 thing, so then that's, when you pay for $20, then.
I think it makes more sense.
Presumably, the issue here is that it's not really clear who gets the rank towards Godalgun. So Ezra wants to like raise it a bit out of his comfort zone, so that he can't get it, even though he might have wanted it.
I mean, the Usher won't let the Ani get it.
Well, no, the Usher will raise the price somewhat. Well, try to raise the price somewhat, so that there's no risk of losing out on it.
That if the Ani couldn't match it. But what do we do in that case, right?
I think that the easiest case to understand the Ani is the.
So what does he mean, lo nechofeu el bedamav? So the Asher says, I'll give you $1 million for your pizza, for your half.
He only for some thing with the market value.
But that doesn't help him. Why does not the Ani?
Because the Ani wants to use it.
But the Ani can't pay that man. So it doesn't. What's the point of him saying?
Presumably the case is where he can pay.
You know what I think it means, right?
I think maybe the tense switches.
You get asymmetry then. The usher says, I'll buy you out for $1 million. But we allow the Ani to counter at fair market value. So the subject switches. Meaning, lo nechofehu.
It's like you can take it, but if you prefer, weird, I guess.
But the usher would obviously say no.
That's
fine. You're saying that the Ani would say, no, I'll buy you out for way less than that. He would obviously
but we allow the Ani to counter at fair market value.
But why would the usher ever agree to that?
He wouldn't, so he won't do it.
Because he clearly knows
the guy wants more money.
He's offering him more.
He can offer him more in the hopes that that'll get him to, I guess, take it. But Ani can still pay back to say, no, I'm going to take it at fair market value.
All this confirms that we shouldn't be reading Meiri's then. So I'm assuming this means the usher wants, right? The usher wants to, likes it so much he's willing to pay more. Kadesha Yani Cheulo, so that the Ani will not buy, take it from him. Lo nichofehu. What does that mean? We will not force the Ani to relinquish it.
We
will not force the Ani to sell it.
Yeah, I think about low and market value. You can't force.
We won't force the Ani.
El bedama, unless it's the minimum of the fair market value.
That's this case.
But
where the usher is trying to rip off the Ani, right?
So the usher can rip off the Ani as long as the Ani can't afford the market.
It's just weird to say Rotze La Aloso. It's weird to say the fair market value is $50. It's $50. And then to say that the usher raises the price to $20 because he's Chomer Asadava Rotze La Aloso. So you wouldn't characterize it that way. You'd say he's lowballing him because he's exploiting the other guy's Anias. Here it sounds like he's raising it above fair market value to make sure that.
Still, can just the value. So, you ask how much this cost.
He just offers his bid.
Yeah, price to that.
Yeah, it could be in that case.
Oh, okay.
Right, you could look at it that way. I would say another way of thinking about it. That's this scenario: you offer 20 when the fair market value is 50, and the only can only afford 10. So they will protect the Ani.
That's how he uses it earlier on.
Ooh, very good.
Where are you?
The first pair.
Sh'afhu yachalalos bidamav. I mean, to evaluate, Oli yasar min ha-ra'i harbe, o yitain kishar shehu kotez lo o yito. Because he can make a counter offer or something. Sh'afhu yachalalos bidamav. And you don't think this is talking about the ani making a counter bid? Shim ze ani etzel ashir. And we talk shash is a chominisava rotzel alo, so meaning the ani wants to jack up the price. Kede she yani chehu lo. I guess what does that mean?
I think
the
difference to price it at a place that it benefits him. So, like, if he lowballs it, then it benefits him.
Yeah.
But then what? The conclusion is that he's allowed to rip him off as long as he's ripping off at a
lower. No, then fair market value kicks in. Then Bidama kicks in.
So, again, meaning then what we're saying is the Miri has no interest in protecting the Ani, really. Not saying Ani has to have a fair shot in this. He's just saying.
Just make sure that
he's coming. Yeah, exactly. He is protecting the Ani and making sure he's not getting ripped off.
Right, meaning this scenario. This scenario where the usher is underpaying, exploiting the fact that the Ani can't counter. Right. That's one way of looking at it. I agree. I guess I'm just wondering if the fairness of a good Uagad, as the Miri himself said, is that the Ani could always make a counter offer. Right? Which that symmetry doesn't hold in cases of an ani. Right. So in which case you have to say, well, the usher could offer this amount, but the ani could counter at fair market value or something like that. Right. So let the ani. Meaning what happens in asymmetric cases? What happens in asymmetric? So this is one scenario. Let's just think this through for a second. One scenario is the usher offers $20 lowballing the fair market value price. Correct. But Ani has to accept it because he can't even pay $20 in the good scenario. Yes? So the halacha kicks in and says even though the usher is offering 20, the Ani gets 50. Everybody see that scenario? That, Daniel, that's how you want to read it, right? Everybody good with that reading? So that means that the Ani would get 50 in this case to be bought out. I think a different way of reading it is that when the usher offers not $20, but let's say we do an offer this time for, and I have a different color marker here.
Also blue.
So let's say instead the usher offers $100. Okay. So the boomerang, the agud, would mean that the ani has to be able to offer that to the usher, correct? But we know that he can't offer that, right? So that would just mean that the usher is guaranteed to get it, which is not fair for a different reason than the blue one was not fair. The blue one was not fair because you're lowballing fair market value. This case is not fair. Why? Because the ani doesn't have a shot in repurchasing it. Right, and buying out the usher. So what do we do in that case? We say, great, Mr. Usher, you're offering $100, but we'll allow the ani to counter offer fair market value.
But then the usher would say, and then what happens? Why would the usher ever agree?
Then he loses. Because fair market value is just the...
What if the ani
gets that the buck stops there. Then the ani loses.
No, but why would the usher ever agree to pay fair market value for the ani's portion?
Well,
he obviously values it more than that.
Who does?
The usher.
But we're forcing him, I think.
The usher values the chepetz at $100, so he could buy out the ani for $100.
Yeah, and then the ani says, how about I buy out your portion for $50?
Fair market value, right.
And me being the usher would be like, obviously I won't do that because I value my portion at $100. That's why I offered to buy your portion for $100.
But I think the point is
but the ani has the right to insist on the buyout.
He can say, then the ani can buy.
No, but that's the shita of the ritzba. The ritzba shita is that you always do it at fair market value. at least the way the Ramban just that she's in the going. Nevertheless, you're going to go up because you do fair market value.
Right, but then who buys
like
it?
Like we said in the talk yesterday, yeah. We'll hire an accounting firm to tell us what the company's
right.
Value is.
Okay, and then let's say
and then we'll split it 42-58.
You're saying that it has to sell it to a third party and then split?
Not sell to a third party, but you have.
But who has the first right to purchase it at the fair market value? Because if they both value it higher than the fair market value, they're both going to
I think you would say that the person who wants to force the chalukah runs the risk of the other party calling his demand for a chalukah and buying.
So some, you're saying the person that says, I no longer want to be in this partnership, it has to be the first one to leave. And that's
correct.
Like why it's fair.
Correct. The toveya of good or good, in this case, the usher says, I'll buy you out for $100. Since the onion can't counter offer $100, so then we just say he gets the counter offer at fair market value.
And then he can kick out the usher.
So then the Ani loses because like, we're not going to mess over the Ashir in that case.
So if you're poor enough, then you can be bought out.
Stinks to be poor. There are other problems with being poor also. This is just another tsara that the Ani has.
What?
I'm just saying there are a lot of problems with being an Ani, right? It's this is just another one of them that you run the risk of being bought out. No?
What you're saying is the system is set up in a way that allows for there to be one.
We also get them set up.
Yeah, that's where tzedakah kicks in. So, you know. Right. De machzor asher yachzor lo is that somebody else should.
The price of my house,
but is that, so does anybody support my second reading of the mirror here as a possibility?
Yeah.
So the idea is that, look. Even according to the review, that you could just jack up the price in the good or good offer. So the usher is jacking up the price so that the usher could secure it. Lo nichofei, we're not going to force the ani to do a counter buyout. Right. So if the agud is for $1 million. We're not going to force the good to be at that same fair mark, at that same $1 million. Lo nechofeu el bedamav. There we'd only force the ani to meet the offer at fair market value. And then the fairness thing is not about being exploited to give up the thing for less than fair market value. The fairness thing is that you're equal shot as a partner to doing the buyout. Now Romy's going to say, what about the ani? Romy's worried about the ani. Romy says, why don't we give it them for less than fair market value?
You just said
the answer is there's no world in which, if he's an ani, he can't buy himself a Porsche, right?
But he doesn't have
if he's an ani, he can't buy himself a Lexus.
First of all,
so too, if he's an ani, he's not entitled to buy out the company for less than the worth of the
ani. But I have two responses. First, on a conceptual level, the point you're claiming here is that the Iri's point is that what's going on here? Is that it's only fair if he has a fair shot in response?
Correct. Those are the two mahalchim in fairness.
But wait,
the blue depiction here is fairness about being robbed of fair market value for your chalukah.
Right.
The green fairness is the boomerang.
That
each shit should have a fair shot at buying back.
The issue you set up over here is not a fair shot. If it really was a fair shot, then he'd be able to counter with this $10.
I don't think there's ever a world in which you could do a buyout for less than fair market value. Elon Musk, Nebuch, he's a shutuf in Twitter. He should be able to, just because he should be able to buy out for less than fair market value of the shares. There's no world in which a partner should be bought out for less than fair market value. No, he can't afford all of Twitter.
But the other can afford to pay fair market value, you know?
Who?
I mean, other people can afford fair market value.
Yeah, the rich shutuf could buy it out. He's offering $1 million. So the halacha here says an amazing thing. The halacha says, in a good or good, the ani doesn't have to counter with $1 million. He gets to counter for fair market value. Now you're saying, what if he can't afford fair market value? Okay, he's priced out of buying the company. That's just...
Well, but this is the thing. It's not a problem for him to be priced out of buying the other half of the company. Right, or the other half of the chatzer. The problem is, right, because you're right.
He's losing his chelik. I understand. He's losing his
chelik. Why don't he be able to buy a Porsche if he wants to? But his Porsche...
It's a liability. It's a liability being a shittah. It's a liability being a shittah, and there's a risk of being bought out. Now we're saying we're giving you the source.
What about all the Rishonim that think that you didn't choose the liability, but you don't care? Meaning, what about according to all the people who say that this the shit was like this? Go to
Rabbi. Let's pause her for a second. I want you to appreciate how amazing this principle is. What we're saying here is that just because this guy's an Ani, we're going to let him buy out the company at fair market value in order to preserve fairness, right? Normally a shittif could force a chalukah at his price. I'll buy you out for $1 million, or you buy me out for $1 million, right? And that could force, we're saying, oh, an Ani, a special protection. He doesn't have to match for $1 million. He can match for fair market value. It's an amazing protection, right? And you're saying it's not enough. You're saying the Ani not only should be allowed to buy it at fair market value, he should be able to buy it out for the few crumbs of leftover pizza that he has left in his pantry.
I wouldn't have thought that he should be able to buy it out at fair market value. I would have thought that he should be able to just hold. Okay, you're paying, but
he's getting $1 million for his chelek. He's getting fairly compensated for his nechasim, right? This gets back to the liability rule versus a property rule. Nechami, when you're a shukuf, right? There is a liability. You're only protected by a liability rule to get fair market share for your chelak.
I guess on the assumption that fair market value, fair market value is complicated. What is the fair market value? Yeah.
But all of good oigud is like that way. All of good oigud means that as a shukuf, you can't force holding on to your chelak unless you're willing to bid higher than the counter bid. Right, so that's implicit in the notion of a shutfus already. It's good. I think it's a good reading of the Meiri, no? Daniel, you like it?
Yeah, it's fine.
It's fine? Is that how you said?
It makes sense.
So let's just do my reading, the second reading. So, Im ze ani etzel ashir, umitoch she ashir ze chomed es hadavar rote la aloso. So the usher is jacking up the price. Lo nichofehu. We're not going to force the ani to accept the buyout at that price, or to counter. Right? Lo nichofehu. We're not going to force him to counter at that price. Ala b'damav. Right? We'll force him to counter at fair market value. So the point is that nichofehu doesn't mean to accept. Nichofehu means to counter. Right, we're not going to force him to counter at the offer, at the bid offer, but at fair market value. Okay. Josh, you have a comment on this. You like the reading?
Yeah. This might be off topic.
Does everybody see the two notions of fairness? The one notion of fairness is that you're not being deprived of fair market value. That was a Rumi reading. My reading here is that the fairness is in the symmetry of being able to make a counter offer. Rumi's saying it's not fair if you're poor and you can't meet fair market value. And I'm saying, well, it's definitely not fair to the rich guy that he should get less than fair market value for his chelek. Right? Even the rich have rights. No? No?
No, well, I actually think I probably know what you're saying right now.
That's because I said it so forcefully.
I mean,
I would have pushed back on Gedolei Mefarshim as forcefully as I pushed back on this. Even Dov would agree that Gedolei Mefarshim here is not the right bit.
I think I'm loaded to be saying, but I just wonder, like, why is the response not, yeah, you know what, Elamas, you cannot buy out anyone in the world, just give the money to do it.
Say it again?
I think that I am loaded to be saying, but I also wonder why we don't say, yeah, Elamas, you have enough money, you still can't buy out everyone in the world, just give enough money. But sometimes that's not, because Elamas has enough money to buy all America, and none of us could own our homes, and we all have to be slaves, Elon Musk the king, I would assume that there'd be some other value there that would say, you know what, yeah, it's not all about who can buy everybody else. Which is, I'm bringing back to here.
Right.
They say, maybe, yeah, you know what, if you're going to run a guy in his house, then, yeah, it's not all about in front of you.
Well, this is like the Ramban's point about the Chatzeros, right? And like Rav Shechter likes to say that it's not Dina the Malchus and Dinas, but all society is a Shutfus, right? Because like we're all like Shutfin in society.
Yeah, because I read the Ramban is saying you actually could go over to anyone in any case.
No, the Ramban's whole point is that not in a shared driveway,
but
not
only,
in a
not because of fairness, only because it's technical. Like, because technically it doesn't work that way, but
it's a different type of Shutfus. It's not
I know, but actually, whatever. I didn't say what I did say with the Ramban, but I think the Ramban is actually much more expansive vision of you go to other.
Okay, we'll get there. Yeah, we'll get there. Now you sound like my father. I'm going to let you get back to it. Don't worry. I'm not robbing you of your point. You have plenty of time to make your point. So.
I'm curious, just from a general Shito sort of stuff, if people going to prefer to have the half thing than to not have the thing in a couple other places. So I think some of what he's going off here is that the whole point of the other is supposed to be kind of a risk to it.
Yeah.
That you, in general, what you now you guys think of is going to be more than market value. That kind of encourages, if this can be worked out, that it will stay worked out. The problem there is that if the guy is poor enough, he can sort of raise it to a higher amount, which is...
Right, there's not a fair price there.
I think that's the sort of thing that he thinks it's trying to stop, not so much some sort of actual, like, ripping off. He thinks it's sort of an inefficiency where the market value
right.
is going to be lower than the actual value.
Uh-huh. So it's not about... I think that supports my reading. No? I guess, but both ways are ways of exploiting the pricing mechanism in a way that's unfair. Right? Like, both of these are failures of the good... What normally makes the good of all good makes sense.
These sort of things are good as a risk, where you're...
Right. But in these cases, there's no risk, because he's a nani. Why is there no risk? Either because he can't match you, and therefore you could lowball him for less than fair market value, or because... he can't match you and buy you out, so there's no risk. Right? There's no risk of you losing your share. Okay, let's look at the next line of the Miri. He says, V'chein im ha'ashir nosein breira l'damim kalim v'omer o tenehu bezol o kenehu b'shar zeh ein shomim lo el omer lo good o good al pibakim. What's going on in this scenario? What?
Says
that he wants to undervalue the property, or he's about to sell it to him at the market value. What does this mean? What does that mean?
That the market value is the rich guy sets the price below market value.
Isn't that a blue scenario? No? This is the blue scenario. If the ashir is nosein breira ledamim kalim, and the rich guy exploits the ani's anias and says, okay, teneu bezol o keneu bishar zeh, let's say the $20 when fair market value is 50, we don't listen to him, we just do good or we get up pibakia. Then we go to fair market value. No? So I think that supports my green reading of the first formulation, because I think the second formulation is captures the blue one better. Make sense? Daniel, do you agree? I think that it's same clause. Either
for that price.
Yeah, either give it to me at a low price or buy it at that low price. But the ashir knows that the ani can't even pay that low price. Right? It's just a way of exploiting the ani to get less. So the Miri says there, we're shoving al pibaki in. Good week, it doesn't work. Okay, Romy, have a hand on this, or Josh?
I was just wondering. In general, I believe we don't let people buy things for more or less than like a sixth of a fair market value.
That's in sales, right?
I'm saying, meaning,
or not?
Does that principle not apply in buyouts?
That's an interesting question. We'll talk. There's a very lumdish question that the Achronim are all over, which is whether a buyout is viewed as a sale or whether it's a chalukah. Like, is a buyout, or is a buyout a division? It might relate to that question about whether the pricing mechanism has to correlate to, like, fair market, like, as a baseline. My intuition is that this is a chalukah, it's not a mechira.
So you're allowed to go way above market.
Right. It's not subject to whatever the normal rules of Onah are. We'll come back to that. Let me make one last point for today. Let's look at this formulation here. B'chinim davar zeh shavah l'zeha migazim yosr mechavero kegon shesmucha l'sadeh shalo o le'ezah siba. What does he mean in that case? What do you do in this scenario where there's some special reason for the guy to, one guy to want it? What do you do then?
You can do it like we assess the price based on I would assume that the fair market value would change based on how much the other guy
values. It says, "Imdavar zeh shava l'zeh migazim yosar mechavero kigon smucha l'sadeh shalo le'ezah siba." What does that mean? Does that mean that So the thing has special value to one of them. So in that case, what do? We go to fair market value.
Cool.
Well, the previous case was I used an usher. So it's a similar idea. It's just that he's not an usher, but he's... It's Shavelo because he has some special connection to it.
Well, just means that he has to...
The guy's going to exaggerate.
Yeah.
Raise up the price just because he likes it more or something like that. But in that, but I'm saying, whose interest is being protected there? It's not so clear to me. Whose interest is being protected in that type of case?
The guy who has more gain. The guy who it's better for him, who values the property for himself more.
Because we don't want him to be extorted.
Right.
Because
I know that he has to. You know, this is right next to his mother. That's
so he needs this so bad.
He needs this so bad that I know that I can offer him a huge price.
Right. I know that he's going to be buying us. There's also a failure of the fair pricing mechanism.
Right.
Do you guys agree that we didn't go to do it? Well,
the person is trying to buy it out is the one who has the value. The person trying to sell it was the one who has the value. It's not a matter of like, oh, he wants to keep onto it. It's more valuable to him.
So we're not going to let that factor into the buyout. Strange, though. Why not? I see that if you're trying to say, like Benji's saying, we don't want to extort the fact that somebody subjectively is attached to it. But why not let that factor into the price mechanism?
Would
it
be more?
Right.
Right, but meaning then, if we are shipped right next to your mom, and we like have to go take care of her every day. So I can be like, hey, I'll buy you out for $1 billion, and then you'll have to buy me out for $1 billion because, you know, your mom can't move and you have to stay there.
Right.
So I'm extorting you because I know that you value being in this specific area more than the fair market.
So we're not going to let him take advantage. We're not going to
let you take advantage of it.
Yeah.
Actually, that's implies an inappropriate valuation. It's not like what expression.
The guy's exaggerating the price.
Not in accordance with reality.
Right.
So,
I guess in any of those cases, we go to fair market value. Maybe the point is that the bids have to be within a certain spread,
six.
A reasonableness. But if not, like if there's some if there's something extraordinary about the case, then we'll just do a fair market valuation. Maybe.
But otherwise, they don't have to be within a certain spread. Or you think in general they have to be within a certain spread.
Yeah, you might think that he's saying in general they have to be within a certain spread.
And here it's been narrow.
Right. Maybe. Like in this case yesterday, it was very interesting. In the case yesterday, these guys, the 58% shareholders, they were the running the business, and the 42% guy was just like an outside shareholder. Didn't seem like there was a real chance that he even knew how to run the business. It was like a specialty industry. If he bought them out, what would he do with it? Right. So they had put years of work into building this thing up. The odds of them actually, you know, letting him buy them out were very low. Right, so you might say, well, the right thing to do in that case is just to go to have an accounting firm come in, do fair market value, and split it along these lines. Don't let him take advantage of the fact that they evaluated that more because they've been putting years of work into it.
Yeah, I think the original point is that it's so much like we don't want this guy to have funding, but he wants to avoid other people being pressured into a buyout. So if it's going to kind of stay around the same price, which is going to be below how much you value it, it really prevents you from doing a buyout. Something actually wrong with the case.
Yeah.
You're doing a buyout because, oh, I really could use this land. There's no fear, so it's going to force them into it.
Yeah. All right, let's stop here. Sorry for going over a little bit, guys. Let's stop here.